This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, is with us. He will recap the state's Democratic Party convention that took place over the weekend, including the election for chair. And we will also get an update on various bills in the state legislature and state budget. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Coming up in the second half of our State Capitol Report, get ready if you want to cast a vote in our straw poll for governor. We will wonder if there is a particular Democrat that you hope runs against Governor Scott Walker. And if you're a supporter of Governor Walker's, you can participate too. Why will you vote for him for re-election? That's coming up in the second half of our State Capitol Report. Let me welcome Sean. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. Morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So, who did Democrats elect their chair?
They elected Martha Lanning to another term as chair, and Martha Lanning was first elected in 2015. Promised at the time to win and win big for Democrats, and you know we all know what happened in 2016 for the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party of Wisconsin specifically. Wisconsin, for the first time, the state's 10 electoral votes went to Republicans, first time in more than three decades. Ron Johnson defended his U.S. Senate seat, and Republicans grew the majorities in the state legislature. This was under Lanning's watch. So that's where you had this challenge emerge to try to, you know, elect someone else. And so you had Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale, running against her, Eric Finch, and Joe Donovan. So three candidates trying to unseat Martha Lanning. She ended up winning among delegates who voted at the state Democratic Party convention over the weekend. She got 52% of the votes of delegates there.
Yes.
And Kennedy had 41%. The other two were ways behind that.
So a majority, maybe not an overwhelming.
A slim majority in a four-way race. That was definitely in question.
Yeah. Any thoughts as to why after getting hammered in the 2016 elections, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin reelected its chair?
Her pitch to Democrats was basically that she had started to turn around the party and that she needed more time, that the party had already in 2017 hired new organizing staff, all geared toward the 2018 election, that change was now underway. But when she was talking to delegates, an hour or so before they started voting, she said, I need more time because, we're in the middle of this. It would be a mistake to change now.
I am running for chair again because I owe it to you. We have laid the groundwork, but we need to capitalize on it. Changing gears now and not finishing this plan will not get us the results we want.
And so, she got the majority. She talked to reporters briefly after the vote totals were announced. I would say most of it is what you expect. She was asked about the 2018 governor's race, where Democrats don't have an announced candidate right now. A lot of people talking about maybe I'm going to run, and you're going to talk about that in the next half hour. We'll talk about it a little bit, but they don't have that go-to name that is sort of the heir apparent for them by any means, and they don't have announced candidates. So she was asked if that's a problem for the party, and her basic answer was no.
The governor's race is over 500 days away, and we have so many people. I mean, every week we're getting calls about people who want to know who our candidates are and are interested in potentially running. So I know there's going to be a primary. People cannot stand for what's happening in our state.
I thought that was interesting because she said, I know there's going to be a primary. So, if she is talking to these candidates regularly, that probably shouldn't surprise people if you're looking at the mix of names who's talking about running right now. But that does kind of confirm that the head of the party believes that, there is going to be a primary for a Democratic primary for governor in August of 2018.
We will be holding this straw poll in our next half hour. I know it's still more than a year away, but we just thought we'd get a sense as to names that our listeners would like to see on the ballot, or maybe there'll be some new ones even. But there was a straw poll that was conducted by WisPolitics.com at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention. And more than a third of the delegates voting in this straw poll favored State Senator Kathleen Vinehout for the party's 2018 gubernatorial nomination. Vinehout of Alma was favored by 184, or 38% of the 489 delegates, alternates, and registered guests. Then we had others after that, but any surprise there, Sean, that Vinehout got the straw poll at the Democratic Party convention?
She's really popular with the members of the base who show up to these conventions. We already knew that because she won in 2015. You know, if you've seen her speak at these conventions, there's enthusiastic support among the, you know, this weekend it was about 1,000 people who showed up for the convention. They like her. The question is whether she can translate that to a statewide race. She ran for governor in the 2012 recall election. It didn't translate to, you know, big numbers for her in that race, but circumstances are different. She's been a public figure for longer at this point, so yeah. You know, we'll see.
A new name surfaced this weekend. Madison's Mayor Paul Soglin apparently is interested, or says he's considering this. Why?
he told WisPolitics over the weekend that it was something he was thinking about. And what he told them is that Bernie Sanders' success here sort of changed the way that he looked at things. I mean, Bernie Sanders, an older Democrat, a liberal Democrat, did very well here. And Soglin thinks, you know, if Bernie can do it, maybe I could do it. It was the sense that you got from reading that WisPolitics thing. He's not saying I'm definitely going to announce in a few months or anything. It wasn't like a firm I'm going to do it from Paul Soglin, but it wasn't no, and it was I'm considering it. So count him among that group of Democrats who are still considering a race.
Yeah, because I guess the conventional wisdom has been or is that a Madison liberal can't win. But he's saying if a Democratic socialist like Bernie Sanders can win the state of Wisconsin, maybe a Madison liberal can win.
And I think everybody also, Democrats, are trying to read the tea leaves as far as the 2018 election cycle at this point, too. You know, everybody read the tea leaves in 2016. Not everyone did so well. But Republicans control everything in Washington right now. President Trump, at this point in his presidency, is more, you know, is unpopular on the whole. And so typically when that happens, it's a good year for the party not in power. So there will be Democrats looking at that thinking, OK, if this is going to be the year, do I want to, you know, give a try at this thing? A Madison mayor has a pretty big base of support. If there was a Democratic primary, so he might look at it through that light, but it's a long ways away, that election, and, you know, we don't know what we're going to be talking about then.
So besides Paul Soglin considering this and Kathleen Vinehout seriously considering this, who are some other possible candidates on the Democratic ticket?
Well, you know, that WisPolitics straw poll actually had, I think, about 10 names that they asked people about, some that you haven't been hearing over and over again. But I can tell you some of the names that emerged again over the weekend. Representative Dana Walks of Eau Claire, Andy Gronick, Milwaukee businessman. He wasn't ready to talk to reporters over the weekend, although he said, well, you know, I'm seriously considering it. He's still in that boat. Susan Happ, district attorney who ran unsuccessfully for attorney general in the last, midterm election. So there's a lot of names, a lot of maybes. Mike McCabe also has said pretty, it sounds, last time I talked to Mike McCabe, he sounded like he was going to run for governor and announced that sometime after Labor Day.
Yeah, and the only question was, would he run as an independent or a Democrat? And yeah, he said probably a Democrat.
He sounded like he's going to run as a Democrat. He's well aware that if he runs as an independent, it's going to be next to impossible for him to win.
Yeah. Well, we need to take a break for news, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some other news from the Democratic Party convention. And we will touch base on what's happening in the state legislature as well. And we'll welcome your questions for Sean about the Democratic Party convention news or other news from Joint Finance or the state legislature. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will hold our straw poll sometime after 7:30. So if you want to vote in our straw poll as to who you want to see run for governor in 2018, why don't you hold those calls until after 7:30. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with our State Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, who is right now recapping the State Democratic Party Convention, which took place over the weekend. And in a bit, we'll talk about some news expected this week. And so, Sean, besides the race for governor and besides the race for Democratic Party chair, there are some other races that Democrats are concerned about in 2018?
There's a whole lot on the ballot. I mean, there's, 99 assembly seats. And one thing that Martha Lanning mentioned was that in 2016, there were a number of those that went uncontested. That's something that she caught a lot of heat for, actually, is that you had uncontested assembly seats. And so she said that she wants to run somebody in every assembly district this time so that people know what the Democratic message is out there. So that's easier said than done. And you're not going to win all 99. So there's downsides to spreading your resources thin like that. But the upside is you have people out there in every district and at least somebody on the ballot who maybe turns out a few more numbers for you.
Yeah. So why do they think things will be different in 2018 than they were in 2016?
Well, there's a little bit of a diagnosing the problems of 2016 and looking ahead to 2018 at this convention. So we'll start with the diagnosis here, the self-diagnosis. This is from Mark Pocan, congressman, and kind of a rising star in Washington's progressive politics. So somebody who has become a leader among liberals, among progressives in Wisconsin. But he said that Wisconsin Democrats need to remember who they're talking to and remember what people care about when they vote. And he talked about all the voters who stayed home in 2016 to make his point.
When 200,000 fewer people care enough to vote for Democrats, like happened last fall, we have to make them care again. And we do that by prioritizing them. The average person doesn't watch Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes every night. They sit around their kitchen table wondering if they can pay their mortgage, provide health care for their family, send their kids to college, or take a family vacation this year. And we sure better be talking about our economic agenda that puts their families first. Sure, there's other issues, and we're going to raise them, climate change, equal rights, and a whole lot more. But most people think from their pocketbooks.
I thought the line about Maddow and Hayes was pretty interesting from Pocan, who is somebody who is not one to shy from media attention. I'm sure he'd love to be on Maddow and Hayes pretty regularly in his position. But he's telling Democrats at their convention, remember what people vote on. And it's not necessarily, what you're talking about around your dinner table as political activists. They're talking about financial issues.
And that Democrats need to be more than anti-Trump or anti-Republican to get those voters.
Yeah, I mean, he did go on to say, articulate how your policies basically as Democrats are better than their policies as Republicans. That the tax breaks that are championed by Republicans or the health care bill championed by Republicans is going to benefit the wealthy more than you know, poor and middle class.
Well, I see that there are already third-party ads, I believe they're third-party ads, running against U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, so that race is already... has already begun, hasn't it?
A little bit, but it's in a way, it's the mirror image of the governor's race.
The Republicans can't find a candidate.
They have a bunch of people who are lined up and look like they're going to run, but they don't have that official candidate yet either. And so Tammy Baldwin right now is kind of waiting for that challenge, that official challenge to emerge. So she hinted at some of her 2018 message during her speech at convention. And she was, you know, more than willing to talk about Republicans as kind of the party of the powerful and to go after Trump as a change agent who didn't deliver, basically. Here's some of what Senator Tammy Baldwin had to say.
What they're even more fed up with is hearing politicians say that they'll take on these special interests, and then watching them go off to Washington and do exactly the opposite. You know, I remember Donald Trump coming to Wisconsin during the campaign and saying the same things Republicans always say here. I'm on the side of the little guy. I'm for working families. I'll fight for you. But it was another scam, and just look at his budget. For starters, he wants to demolish Medicaid. And that wouldn't just hurt struggling families. It would hurt middle-class families with long-term care needs. It would hurt seniors in nursing homes who have nowhere else to go. It would hurt our rural hospitals. Some might have to close.
All right, so what else happened at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention?
There was an unusual twist in that you had a couple Supreme Court candidates address the convention, and I haven't seen that before. The Supreme Court races are officially nonpartisan. You know, both parties get involved in these, but they have sort of differing degrees of how hands-off they are. I think Republicans to this point have been more hands-on in state Supreme Court races than have the organized Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So these speeches at convention were a change. Tim Burns, a Madison lawyer, who is being very outspoken liberal and you know, kind of wearing his politics on his sleeve, his approach is also a change. I mean, just being that outspokenly liberal. And he said that, you know, that's by design. It's important that you know where judicial candidates stand, and he's a progressive.
I am running a nonpartisan race, but I will not run from progressive organizations, and I will not run from progressive politicians. I am proud of the values we share.
And then you had Rebecca Dallet, a Milwaukee County judge who announced last week she also was seeking the votes of Democrats at the state convention by speaking there, obviously, but she stressed the need for independence among judicial candidates.
But I don't think the answer is just to come here and tell you that judges need to vote like partisan Democrats to counteract partisan Republican judges. If we fall into the trap of politicizing the third branch, we turn our backs on our true progressive history.
And so, if those two stay in and Justice Michael Gableman, the conservative member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, runs for re-election, that would set up a primary next year in February and an election in April.
Yeah.
And that would be looked at, I think, as kind of a bellwether of where things stand in the 2018 cycle in terms of how that, you know, that election falls for the Democratic favored candidates versus the Republican.
Speaking of Supreme Courts, the U.S. Supreme Court is meeting this week to talk about Wisconsin's redistricting case.
They are. This is big. This is the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have a conference this week. They have two more after this week scheduled for the month of June, where they're going to talk about potential cases they might take. And one of the ones that they are scheduled to discuss is Wisconsin's redistricting case, the case that struck down Wisconsin's Republican-drawn legislative map as an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a unique case in that it was the first successful partisan gerrymandering claim in the U.S. And so the question for the court is essentially, what do they do with this case? Do they just affirm that ruling and leave it at that? Do they strike it down and leave it at that? Those kind of, from what I've talked, you know, the legal experts I've talked to think that's unlikely and that the court will want to hear it in oral arguments. But this is where they're deciding that, whether or not they want to hear it in oral arguments. So the decision could come soon. It could also, it could be after June 15th is kind of the best guess that I've heard, that they probably won't decide right away, but they could discuss it right away this week.
All right. And also some job numbers are also due out this week that will be very telling.
These are those apples to apples gold standard job numbers that are going to look at how Wisconsin fared compared to other states in all of 2016. So very telling. We do know that Wisconsin's numbers that they reported were much lower than usual for the state, as the state lost manufacturing jobs and had about 11,000 private sector jobs created. That's, you know, about a third as much as normal.
So Wisconsin didn't do well in that gold standard report, but now we see if other states did as poorly.
Right. Are we the, you know, were we alone in having a slow year, or are other states tracking that way too?
Yeah. If other states did a whole lot better, that's going to be a big issue in the gubernatorial race, isn't it?
Job numbers will be an issue in the gubernatorial race.
No matter what.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's, but reports like these really go, you know, will frame that.
No, we didn't get to, the chance to go issue by issue in the state budget, but anything on tap this week as far as joint finance and the state budget is concerned?
Nothing formally scheduled yet. They've got some big issues yet to finish. I mean, they always leave some of the more difficult issues toward the end of budget deliberations. One of those we know is potentially education funding. The governor set aside the bulk of the new money in this budget for K-12 public schools. And the State Journal reported there's some divisions among Republicans over whether or not to give schools all they're asking for. Assembly Republicans want to cut it by around $90 million. Senate Republicans are saying that's a non-starter.
All right, Sean, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief.